Greg Kelly Show.
Hey, what the hell's going on? They fired Phil Sims and Boomer Esiason, all-round great guys, no football inside and out. What? And major league players, I mean, big time, you know, huge accomplishments on the field, being pushed out. Why? Why? Out of CBS News. Now, I don't really watch all that much football, but I do like those guys. And they know what the hell they're talking about. And what is it? Is it, are they too old? No, they're not too old. Is it, I don't know, did they suddenly forget a lot about football? No, I don't think that's it. Was one of them sexually harassing the other? Highly doubt it. Highly doubt it. And no one's doing any sexual harassment anymore of anybody, same sex, other sex, everybody's, we all got the memo. So what the hell could it have been? Let's see here. Who's replacing them? Nate Burleson. He's not exactly up there with Phil Sims, right? Name recognition, Phil Sims, Boomer Esiason. Nate Burleson. He's the... Oh, yeah, him. Let's see here. Okay, he's on the CBS Morning Show next to Gail King. And he spends all of his time agreeing with Gail King. And so does Tony Doko. Whatever. Tony D. All right, I think there's a huge racial component to the whole damn thing. Absolutely. These woke corporations, you know, you can't have too many white people at the same time. Otherwise, it might make some professor somewhere uncomfortable. It might make some radical lunatic start tweeting stuff about you. You know, regular people who are like football really don't care about what anybody looks like, right? They don't care. They don't care. I mean, they care about reputation. They care about skill. They care about all that stuff. And your ability to communicate, you know, I don't think that Nate Burleson's very good. I see him. All right. It doesn't matter, right? I mean, these guys have more money. They're not in it for the money. And Boomer's going to be on WFAN, I think, going forward. It's funny. I don't really get into football, but I always got into... There were two guys who I would always listen to. Mike Francesa, when he talks sports, there was something incredibly engaging about it. And Boomer. And I don't like this. Then again, sometimes around those big tables, they barely get 8 seconds to talk. There are like 18 guys around the table. You ever notice that? All right. It doesn't matter. It's just ancient history. It doesn't matter. There's so many things that matter right now. And send in the cops with the bats and the hats to get rid of those kids at Columbia University. What the hell is going on up there? Negotiations have broken down. They make it sound like they're negotiating with a legitimate union or people with a legitimate grievance. These are a bunch of maniac pro-terrorist Jew haters who have taken over vast portions of Columbia University property. It's happening all over the country, and they're negotiating with them. Send in the cops. Take down those silly tents. You need a memo on how to do it? You need some instruction? Call my dad, Ray Kelly. Occupy Wall Street, anybody? Remember that? Remember that? They got rid of them. Yeah, I know. There was a time that they had that whole debate. Well, it's private property. It's this. It's that. You know, they're just kids. You know, then there was political pressure. You got to let them say something. And then finally, the guy who owns the park said, police department, can you help me get rid of these? No problem. And what did they do? They went in at like 5 o'clock in the morning. They looked at a study. 98% of people of the human race is asleep at 5 a.m. All these people who say they get up at four, all these people who say they, you know, I only get 4 hours of sleep every night. No, everybody manages to get enough sleep. And 98%, 99% of the population is asleep at 5 o'clock. That's when they love to send in the cops, the FBI. Roger Stone, we know you're in there. Put down the magazines, Roger. just get them the hell out of there. All right, what else is going on? There's no trial today of Trump. Today is an off day, and I have been able to catch up on the transcript. And I cannot believe how serious this case is, how serious this all is. Did you know that Donald Trump had Stormy Daniels' phone number in a computer at Trump Tower. I don't believe it. That means they were hooking up. No, it doesn't, actually. In 2007, Donald Trump was like the hottest, even in a weird way, more popular and more talked about than now. Well, not now, but he was heading the Celebrity Apprentice, was like the biggest show in the history of television. Celebrity Apprentice. Every celebrity wanted to come on that show, but they wanted to mix it up, and they wanted characters on the show. They wanted different people. And people heard Trump Tower, maybe we should put a porn star. What do you think? What do you think? Should we put a porno star on there? I mean, people, you know, let's face it, people do look at the porn. I don't know if that's a good idea. Rona, what do you think? You think that's a good idea? What about you, Mike? Never mind. I don't care what you think, Mike. Mike, don't you have anything better to do? Because you're just hanging around here a lot. Like, maybe you have another edge. Anyway, so that was a big revelation from Friday. And a couple of other ones. For instance, did you know that, I think I went into this, but Arnold Schwarzenegger, the same thing with Arnold Schwarzenegger. They mentioned his name very briefly on the news. Arnold Schwarzenegger's name came up, and he also, well, when he ran for governor of California, about 40 women came forward saying that, you know, they had hooked up with Arnold when he was married, when this, that. The National Enquirer paid almost $1 million to put those stories to bed. I still heard about them. I was in Iraq at the time. I heard about them, but the National Enquirer did its part to protect Arnold Schwarzenegger 40 times, hundreds of thousands of dollars, all the way up to $1 million. They bought stories. They didn't publish them because they wanted to help out Arnold. And they didn't file any paperwork with the campaign finance board or the Federal Election Commission or the State Election Commission, because this is what's done. If you're a private enterprise, you can do these kinds of things if you want to do them. And all right, Arnold Schwarzenegger, is that too long ago? Is that too, well, that's Arnold. People expect Arnold. I am Arnold. That's not a good one. My name is Arnold Schwarzenegger. No, shut up. How about Rahm Emanuel? Do you know who Rahm Emanuel is? Rahm Emanuel. He was chief of staff to Barack Obama for about a year. He was a congressman from Chicago, kind of like Barack Obama. He is one of the Emanuel brothers. There's Ari Emanuel, the great big agent in Hollywood. There's Ezekiel Emanuel, who's the doctor who wants to put old people to death. Yeah, you heard about that one. He's the guy who came up with the death commission. And then there's Rahm, who actually danced ballet in college. That's fine, but and became a real nasty. Everybody knows he's really, really nasty. He's the guy who wants, you know, try to be a tough guy. He sent a dead fish to somebody in politics he didn't like. You know, a warning, you're going to be swimming with the fishes or something. I don't know. Just he's a really kind of a weird guy. And so he wants to be mayor of Chicago. And what does he do? Well, he gets in touch with the National Enquirer because he's having an affair and he doesn't want that story published before he becomes a mayor. And what does David Pecker over there at the National Enquirer do? Well, they get the story and they put it to bed. They don't publish it. See, the National Enquirer is basically the only outfit out there that pays for these stories. And the kind of lowlifes who come forward and want to make money off of these stories, they're not really the nicest people in the world. And they lie a lot. So you never know, but it was serious enough. And they vet these stories. I'm just saying that Rahm Emanuel, who's a Democrat, who is a good friend of Obama's, the National Enquirer bought a story and put it to bed. No campaign finance information, or they weren't alerted. Is anybody indicting him? Is anybody arresting him? Is anybody? Well, that's so long ago. Well, so is this crap. So is this stuff so long ago. Arnold Schwarzenegger. He is now he used to be a Republican. He called himself a Republican. All he really wanted was power. You can look it up in his books. He basically had a real kind of a Nazi fetish, to be honest. I mean, he did say some weird stuff, and not saying he's a Nazi, but, he is from Austria, and he just had some certain predilections or whatever. He just, and he rides around in a tank. Forget the Hummer. Remember, he was the first guy in the world to have like a Humvee and a Hummer and all these big cars. Well, he also bought a tank for himself. He loves Joe Biden. And he remember he made that special speech, Joe Biden, we pledge our loyalty to you forever. And he had a sword and he was waving it around. The other thing, and the New York Times told me, no one really could understand what Trump's lawyer was talking about on Friday because it was very esoteric. It was so much detail and very financial. And I'm like, actually, I can kind of understand this. In fact, an idiot can understand it. Anybody can understand it. Anybody can understand the story that Michael Cohen, not a bright guy at all, really dumb in everything he does, including taking care of Donald Trump and managing Donald Trump. You know, you got to manage up. You got to take care of your boss. Well, instead of taking care of his boss, he was looking for a job for himself. He was doing all kinds of weird side deals. And, I mean, talk about neurotic. He called up David Pecker and said, can you do me a favor? I am going to meet with Mark Cuban, and I would love it if you could send cameras there, and Donald Trump will see the pictures, and Donald Trump will see I'm an important person, and Donald Trump will treat me better. He actually said that. He said that. That's in court. David Pecker. It's according to his own testimony. David Pecker heard from Michael Cohen and wanted to, Michael Cohen wanted cameras at an event. So Donald Trump would see it, get jealous of the attention, and say, oh, Michael Cohen, wow, he's got a lot of buzz about him. Maybe he's a bit sharper than I thought, to deceive his client. And also, what's his name? David Pecker. They wanted to put pressure. They were actually trying to pressure Donald Trump to do things. Very strange case. There is no case, but that it's Trump, they can get away with all this crap. And the media just going along with it and ratifying it and ignoring the bad stuff for their side, ignoring all this stuff I'm talking about. New York Times said, you can't understand it. I can understand it just fine, and so can you. The White House Correspondents' Dinner was a bit of a bust. I've been to three of them myself. Ooh, that reminds me. That reminds me, George W. Bush. Well, I'll say this. Biden did his speeches. Do we get any Biden jokes or anything yet from the thing? All right, you let me know. We do? Not that he was that funny or anything, but he wasn't horrendous. He wasn't terrible. Let's hear that one. Go ahead.
But before I begin tonight, can we just acknowledge refreshing it is?
Stop. I don't know exactly who that is, but that's not Joe Biden. Oh, wait a second. All right, so this is Colin Jost, who went after Joe Biden. And here he is saying stuff. Now, Colin Jost had a couple of jibes. He's a New Yorker, and he was kind of funny for about a minute. And then he started to kiss Joe Biden's ass relentlessly. Now, Colin Jost is from Staten Island, and he kept on talking about, my grandfather's a firefighter. There is not one firefighter in the country who supports Joe Biden. There's not one. Zero. Absolutely zero. So he says, my grandfather firefighter is just like Joe Biden. Let me hear this Colin Jost stuff, please. He's sucking up big time. Diego, you really got to get off the weed. We've talked about this before. I saw you smoking weed in front of the station. I mean, I know it's legal, so you're not committing a crime and you're not even doing anything that could get you in trouble at work. I just think that the weed is not. All right, now we got it. All right, go ahead. Press play.
To see a president of the United States at an event that doesn't begin with a bailiff saying, all rise. And I would like to point out, it's after 10 p.m. Sleepy Joe is still awake. While Donald Trump has spent the past week falling asleep in court every morning. Though Fox News said he was just being anti-woke.
All right. Kind of cute, but very. That's it. And that's about as funny as it got. And then the ass kissing came. And then all of the, what do they call it? Gaslighting. Lots of gaslighting. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? the federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Greg Kelly Show.
Generally speaking, I find myself being very nice to Republican women. Very few of them I disagree with. Republicans in general, even though I'm not a Republican. I'm not registered in any party. But I find myself siding. If MAGA had a party, I'd be with the MAGA. Make America great again. So many Republicans uncomfortable with talking MAGA. What are you afraid of when it comes to MAGA? Making America great again. What's the controversy? So what do I want to do here? Oh, but there are two Republicans who must resign immediately. Well, one must resign. The other one just needs to go away. Stay in South Dakota. You heard about what Kristi Noem did? Wow. She put in her new book, and she has, this is the second memoir that she's done in 2 years about herself. And what a down home, take no crap kind of gal she is. And if a puppy gave her a hard time, well, she put that puppy down and she knows how to make the tough decisions. And therefore, she's supposed to be an effective. It's the weirdest thing I ever heard. And enough with this woman. Stay in South Dakota and be governor there. Enough with her running around the country, showing up. I'm special. She killed a dog. I mean, and she didn't bring it to the vet. The dog wasn't sick. The dog didn't like Kristi Noem. Well, put me in that category. She killed a dog with a gun. I don't care, you know, yeah, you're on the farm and all that stuff. I guess there are slightly different rules, but that's still a rule. You don't shoot puppies. And if you do, I mean, wow, that's it. I'm sorry, that's it. And then you put it in the book. She wrote a book, and it's in the book about, now she's defending herself. Yes, I shot a puppy, and that just shows you what a tough person I am, and I can make the, wow. The political career of Kristi Noem is over. Well, yeah, I mean, I could see the South Dakota people trying to reelecting her and maybe even electing her to Senate or something like that. But this vice presidential stuff, no way. I don't care how attractive you are, by the way. That seems to be a big focus of hers. Sorry, but it, you know, kind of is. Everybody's noticing she's had a lot of work done, and I don't know. I just think it's a little bit much. She killed a dog. Remember Mitt Romney? I mean, I thought it was preposterous when he put his dogs in that little box and put it on the top of the station wagon as they drove across country. He put his dogs in a box on top of a car and then drove across country. Going 65 miles per hour with the dogs, that's no place for a dog. And the White House was no place for Mitt Romney. And that was one of the many clues about that. And then there's this nasty DA. And I don't like using the word Karen, but she's definitely a Karen.
You're listening to The Greg Kelly Show.
Don't tell me why I don't like money.
All right.
The whole day down.
So when this song came out in the early 80s, it became a real thing. Oh, we'll play it on Mondays, right? Because nobody likes Mondays. And it's like a cultural fixture. But do you know where this song came from? It came from a woman, a young girl, 16 years old. In 1979, it was basically the first modern era school shooting. Her name was Brenda Spencer, 16 years old. She lived in San Diego, right across the street from, I think it was called Cleveland Elementary School. She was like a mild juvenile delinquent, you know, trespassing, burglary, and something else that she did. Troubled, but, you know, still functional, and went to school, went to a high school. And one morning she got up and she took a rifle that she had. Her father gave it to her for Christmas. This was in January. The father gave her the rifle in December, and she shot about 12 people, two dead and a bunch of kids. And it was just absolutely no, the country had never even seen anything like that. So, and when they asked her, somebody, I think the SWAT team showed up and they started negotiating with her and they said, well, why did you do this? And she said, well, I don't like Mondays and this livens up the day. Wow. I don't like Mondays. And that was her motive. And what's his name? Bob Geldof heard about this. He's sitting over there in England or Ireland or Scotland, wherever he's from. And he puts that into a song and it becomes a song. But just a incredible case. Her name, Brenda Spencer. She's remains in prison. She was sentenced 25 years to life and she's still in jail because nobody can still really figure out why the hell she did it. The I don't like Mondays thing doesn't quite cut it, does it? So, you know, if she can't explain it, there's a chance that she may do it again. That's the parole board's thinking. But this weekend, I don't know what the hell it was. I heard something about something and it made me think of something else. And then it made me think of something else. And there I was doing a deep dive into this thing that happened in 1979. Well, get this little component of the story. She goes to jail and she's 16 years old. So she's in juvenile detention hall up until she becomes 18. And then they send her to the women's prison. While she's in juvenile detention hall, you know, the father visits her and the father falls in love with her juvenile cellmate. Yeah, a girl who's 17 years old. Apparently she falls in love with him and she escapes from the juvenile hall and goes to his house. His name is Wallace. And they hook up and she gets pregnant and he winds up marrying her. So he's 40 something years old. He marries his mass shooter's daughters. His daughter, who's a mass shooter, marries her cellmate. And she's underage, by the way, 17. And they have a kid. And that kid is actually, you know, walking around somewhere right now. She didn't do anything wrong, but I became fascinated with her. She went to university. She's this, she's that. And all this goes down at the same house where the mass shooting took place. Like, he still lives there. It's this little ranch house right across the street from the school. The house is still there. It's just the most bizarre story. It was the first modern day school shooting. They looked it up. You know, people were showing up at one room schoolhouses in the 1890s and shooting those up, too. It's not like it never happened before, but it's happening a lot. And that's why I don't like Monday. I would not let her out of jail. Would you? I mean, that's a very creepy thing. All right. Can I go back to this Karen? I don't like the word Karen. I think it's been very unfairly used. Women sticking up for themselves and suddenly labeled Karens. Number one, Karen is a nice name. And I think it has something to do with the white. It's kind of an anti-white slur. Oh, God forbid you're a woman and sticking up for yourself. But I'm sorry. District Attorney Karen Dorley is her name. Dorley, D-O-O-R-L-E-Y. She's the DA. She's like the Alvin Bragg of Rochester, New York. I don't know if she's tough on crime or weak on crime, but she's tough on the cops. Did you see the video yet? She gets pulled over by a police officer for going 55 in a 35. And she refuses to pull over. She keeps going all the way to her house. And then cops the most supreme attitude with the cop. Let me hear that, please.
Didn't stop at all. Did you not hear my lights or sirens or anything?
No, I didn't actually. I was on the phone.
Okay. Well, you're not supposed to be on the phone while you're driving either.
Yes, I am. With the hands free, absolutely.
Okay. Why are you so upset at me? I'm doing my job. You just admitted to me that you were going 55 and a 35 on Phillips Road.
Can you please tell him to leave me alone? It's...
Officer Christofoli. Can you stay over here, ma'am?
This is a traffic.
This is a legal traffic stop. Do you have your ID?
No, it's in my purse. Here.
You have your purse right there.
No, this is my lunch. Would you talk to Dennis? This is ridiculous. If you give me a traffic ticket, that's fine. I'm the one who prosecutes it, okay? Just go ahead and do it. Go ahead. You know what I've been dealing with all day? 3 murders in the city. And do you think I really care if I was going 20 miles over the speed limit?
Okay, I'm just doing my job. If you pulled over when you saw my lights, which obviously you did.
I thought you were going somewhere else because I thought no one would ever pull a black SUV if you ran my plates.
I didn't run your plate. I just called your plate out. And then I'm following you because you're not stopping. So I had to take the air from dispatch.
Just please.
Stop. This is a member of law enforcement. She's technically law enforcement. She's a district attorney. You hear her, and she's speeding. And then apparently you're supposed to know that there's a VIP in a black SUV. This is really bad. And I demand her resignation. And so do a lot of other people. I'm sorry. I know you had a bad day, but this shows a real attitude. And if you're doing this, what else are you doing? Keep going.
It's getting to be a big deal. Jeff's here, so let Jeff take care of it. All right. Bye.
Hi.
Now he's got to talk to his own boss.
I'll talk to Jeff.
Okay.
I was just on the phone with the chief.
Okay. I'm the supervisor with her now, so.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. I didn't want to pull over on Phillips Road. It was just, I figured I'd just pull into my driveway.
Okay. Well,
I called Dennis and I said, okay, that's me that they're trying to stop.
Okay.
So that's the end of the story.
Okay. But you should know better, right?
I was speeding. I know that.
Okay. So why didn't you just stop like you're supposed
to? Because I didn't feel like stopping on Phillips Road at 5:30.
That's not your choice. You know that.
Well, I made it my choice.
Okay. Well, now you made it a bigger deal than it needed to be.
It's a really bigger deal. Then when people start coming, it's a much bigger deal.
Well, you caused that, Sandra. Well, what do you want us to do? Not do our job because it's you?
No, it's fine. I said, write me a ticket. But I was just saying, I was not going to stop at Phillips Road at 5:30.
Okay, well, you broke another law because of that. Right? And you should know better. That's not a traffic ticket. That's an arrestable offense. Sandra?
Buster!
You know this.
I was right down the street. I figured I will just stop in my driveway. That's what I figured. Okay. I thought it would be easier.
Easier on who? You nut?
Apparently I was wrong.
Yeah. Well, that was not the right choice.
Well, where do things stand right now? You want to hear her apology video? Wait, I think the next sequence she gets even more uppity. Do we have another sequence? All right, hit this, please. So again, this is all in her garage.
Hi, I'll talk to Jeff. Jeff.
Nah, we already heard that part. Let me hear her abject apology. Now, the apology is actually a little bit over the top. The way she looks like she just got caught kidnapping a busload of kids and driving them down to Mexico. It's a little bit over the she's petrified. Her face is absolutely petrified. She can't do her job anymore, but let's hear the apology. Do we believe it?
Last Monday, I failed you and the standards that I hold myself to. And for that, I am so sorry. What I did was wrong, no excuses. I take full responsibility for my actions. I fell short of the values I've held for my entire 33-year career. I didn't treat this officer with the respect that he deserved. All police officers deserve respect. I am truly and sincerely sorry. I had just come from work. I was dealing with 3 homicides that occurred over the weekend. I watched a video where an innocent cab driver was executed. And I was still reeling from a frightening medical concern that my husband received that afternoon.
Hey!
But we all had bad days and stress, and it was wrong for me to take it out on an officer who was simply doing his job. While I previously apologized to him, I will say it again. I'm sorry. Police already have a tough job, and that day I made this officer's job harder. To the community, I owe you full transparency. Here's what I'm doing to hold myself accountable.
No, this is going to be good.
First, I already pled guilty to the speeding ticket, and I will willingly pay the fine.
Oh, wow.
Next, I'm referring the entire matter to a district attorney from another county for review and will fully cooperate with that investigation. I'm going to self-report this incident to the grievance committee, and I will cooperate with their investigation. Finally, If one of my assistant district attorneys had acted this way, I would have disciplined them. So I'm disciplining myself. I will take ethics training to remind myself that professionalism matters. I've been humbled by my own stupidity, and I am fully to blame. I will make this right. I ask for your forgiveness.
Well, that was pretty thorough. And we're all about forgiveness. I can forgive her, sure, but she can't be a district attorney anymore. She cannot be a district attorney. She does that and only gets a ticket. She drives all the way to her house. We'll see what the DA from the other county who's investigating. Did she say if one of her employees did this, they would be disciplined? What about fired? What about fired? I think the world is not going to come to an end if she's no longer the district attorney of whatever the hell county it is up there in Rochester. What county is it? Monroe County. Yeah, I'm sorry, Dorley, you went way too far, overboard. And Christy Noem, that goes for you too. I mean, the both of you are perfect for each other. Jim, you have something to say about the matter? You're from upstate.
Yeah, now I'm from Jersey, Greg, but I moved upstate.
Jeez, you quibble with me. You quibble with me. I mean, you're from upstate. That's where you are right now. You're from upstate.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So what do we know? What do we need to know?
That's a hillbilly character flaw. They'll just shoot a dog like it's nothing. I've come across that before, hearing people talk like that. Christy Noem's way out over her skis, anything past being governor where she was at. She also, she did have an affair with Corey Lewandowski.
That's the rumor.
She's way out over her skis, man. You know, I heard that Trump is going to have breakfast with DeSantis. I know you were mad about him running against Trump. Everyone screws up. I think that'd be a dynamite ticket. Him under Trump's wing for 4 years,
no,
I think we'd have a winner.
No way. I mean, have you seen Ron DeSantis? I mean, he's got a screw loose. There's something wrong with that guy. He can never be. No. I mean, the guy got clobbered in a debate by Gavin Newsom, for crying out loud. All right. The guy, he's not ready. He'll never be ready.
No.
You got to be ready day one. You got to be ready day one if you're vice president. It's not going to be DeSantis. And it's also complicated because they're both from Florida and the Constitution says it can't be that way. I know there's a way to get around that, but still, ain't going to be DeSantis. It's going to be, I don't know, but it's not going to be him. Thank you. Let me do one more. Bill, yes.
Yeah, hi, Greg. I'm just calling to find out if you have any insight or updates on Trump's endorsement of Mike Zappacone, who has been giving money to Democrats for quite a while.
The last thing I know is that he endorsed Zappacone and that endorsement holds. And look, I don't know from Zappacone. All right. I'm a little bit surprised. I would have liked to have seen a competitive primary and maybe we'll work out that way. Who's the oh, my God, I can't believe I can't think of her name. Who's the boxer that we like? Who's running? What the hell? Oh, my gosh. I'll figure that out in a moment. But hey, look. Kara Castronova. Democrats. He gave to Democrats. You know who gave to Democrats? Trump. Trump gave to Democrats left and right. You sound like you sound like Jeb Bush when you criticize him for that. Jeb Bush, Donald gave money to Hillary in 2006. I mean, it's a real so what, Bill? It's very small time, small brain type stuff. Don't worry about that.
But he gave $1,000 to Letitia James.
Just what I'm saying. I'm taking it. I don't know if that's true. And everybody's calling me and telling me all these nightmare stories about Zappacone. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not. I'd like to see a primary. I have no problem with that. I think Kara Castronova is great, although they make it very complicated with all these stupid signatures. All these signatures, they play this game with the signatures. Thank you, Bill. Zappacone. I don't know why this guy, a lot of people don't like him. Hey, one other thing. Howard Stern can be as liberal as he wants. I don't care. It's his right. He can do it. If he wants to go easy on Joe Biden, that's fine. One thing I know that's going on with Howard is whatever. It's authentic. Howard is not playing. He's not playing a character. I love Howard Stern. I mean, do I agree with him about politics? Apparently not. I mean, so what? Leave Howard alone. He did kind of lay it on thick there, right? Hey, what's this? Cut four, please. Cut four.
President Donald Trump is on the phone. My theory is that Donald is really not running for president.
You think he's just promoting a book?
Yeah, he doesn't need the commission. Donald.
Hi, Howard.
How are you?
But I am having a good time.
Mr. President.
Well, you have to endorse me, Howard.
Yes, sure, I'll endorse you. What else have I got to do?
Tell you what, this country won't be ripped off anymore, Howard.
I know, you'll get a good deal.
We'll get good deals.
Well, the guy's a great businessman.
Oh, yeah.
You got
lots of good deals and lots of lower taxes.
Let me talk to that broad in your bed.
I could almost have her talk to you.
You could? Let me just say,
actually, she's outside in another room listening to this.
What is she doing, actually? What is she wearing?
Melania.
I don't know. Maybe I should get her in. Do you want me to get her in?
Yeah, yeah, let me talk to her for a second. Let me talk to her. What's your name again? Melanie?
It begins with an M.
Hello?
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
You are so hot.
Oh, thank you.
I see pictures of you. I can't believe it. You're a dream.
Man, great radio. But Howard is in a very different place right now. Cut three.
You know, the reason I'm so excited to talk to you was because I wanted to understand the tragedy in your life and how you dealt with it. And you're the kind of leader I love because we're lucky to have you in the Oval Office and serving as the father of the country. Because if you're a good father to your family, which you are, I know you'd be a good father to the country. And I want to thank you for providing a calming influence, an organized administration post-COVID, getting that vaccine out. I remember what the world was like at that point, getting NATO, getting us to feel comfortable, standing up to Putin, the incredible large growth in the jobs, unemployment rate down. I'll give you your greatest hits. The lowest uninsured rate in history.
All right, Howard is, I don't agree. I think he's wrong, but it's his right. And he's still a magnificent entertainer, Howard. We got to straighten him out about Joe Biden. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly. Listening to the Greg Kelly Show.
Well, 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 here she is. Judith Gray, my wife, welcome.
How are you?
What brings you to my office?
You left your security card.
At the office.
At the office. I thought you couldn't get back in. I'm just doing my... I don't want to say...
You don't even have a security card. You're always popping in unannounced. And you've got all kinds of friendships and alliances around here. It makes me, I don't know. I've got, jeez. What if I were up to something, you know?
I know. Well, this is the way I keep it.
You never know.
Kosher.
Hello, Judith. What's going on?
What's going on at Columbia? They had a 2 p.m.
No. What's going on with you? What brings you here?
I need to get a crown. I just went to the dentist for a routine checkup, and it's like, oh, you have to come back. I was like, how long is that going to take? Well, the first appointment will take an hour. I'm like, oh, no. I've never had one before.
Well, you've been missing that front tooth for a long time, and it's been noticed by your friends and me. I'm only kidding. You have beautiful teeth, and I guess it's one of those teeth in the back.
It's wear and tear. I was like, how does this happen? And she was just like, regular wear and tear. I was like, oh.
Well, it's one of those things that we don't talk about very much. You, however, do take the toothpaste into the shower. I know guys who do that, but you do that, which I find totally like, I'm sorry. I find that a little bit, I don't know, less than dignified. I don't think you should be brushing your teeth in the bathtub.
It takes multitasking to a whole new level.
All right. Yeah. Well, you are multitasking like crazy. How are the kids? And what have they been up to lately? How are they doing?
As I always say, they're great. We're exhausted.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's tough. It's really tough. Hey, you didn't see the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Neither did I. However, I did. Oh, actually, no, I'm sorry. I did watch it. I watch it on the YouTube. Oh, there's the commercial. Thank you for dropping by.
My pleasure.
Believe it or not, I got a flow of things. You just disrupted the whole thing. You just dismantled the whole plan of attack. That's okay. I can readjust. Is there anything else?
It's 80 degrees outside.
I have a feeling there is. I'll let you know.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.